in April, and man, has his tune changed in a significant way. Yes, it still seems like it's Russ, but now, you know, now it feels like we have a quarterback battle. Now it looks like he's viewing Justin Fields differently as a potential starter.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting dynamic. I mean, how is this not going to turn into some type of battle? Because it's not like Fields is some scrub. You know, he's not going to go out there and look totally lost. He's not a rookie. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Russell Wilson has this calf issue that he's dealing with, and that just cracked open the door ever so slightly. Now, the football side of this is what it is, right? Whether Russ gets the job first and maybe we end up seeing both of these guys at one point during the season, the football part is obviously the most important. Mm-hmm. However, that's not the only thing going on here. There's got to be a interpersonal dynamic as well. And when you have two guys who, let's be honest, both have so much at stake here, mm-hmm. so much. Russ is obviously trying to reclaim and recapture that former glory with this traditional program, this blue blood of the NFL, if you will, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember, we were asking last year, Pearl, has Russell Wilson hurt his Hall of Fame candidacy because of how bad things are going with Denver? Well, this is an opportunity to get all that glory back in a hurry, right? You succeed with the Steelers. That's going to go a long way, I think, for your resume and could be the last thing that people see when they are deciding whether or not you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer or what have you.
Well, I just think it's not even succeed, just be better than you were in Denver. Pittsburgh's not a place, in that current team, he's not going to put up big numbers there because they brought in Arthur Smith, who's, you know, not, I would say, not a high octane offense guy. He's more ball control.
But if they do winning, if they do a lot of winning, people just get remembered as winners. And I don't know if Super Bowl is realistic right now for the Steelers, but yeah. At least you're not the dumpster fire of what Denver was.
I think 9-8 with decent stats. I think Russ needs to just right the ship here. But I'm not sure. What does Fields have at stake?
Tons.
There's way more at stake for Russ.
I think Fields has everything at stake.
Why? He's going to be a free agent next year, and he can go anywhere and try and win a job. Like Russ is his whole career hinges about. Justin Fields is going to be fine. Why does he need this job?
Are we sure he's going to be fine?
Yeah, go start at Carolina next year or something. He's on the market next year.
Okay, but here's the thing. We just saw what the market was for Justin Fields when the Bears were getting rid of him, and it was zero. I mean, it was depressing. That had to be humbling, even if they're spinning it now. Oh, I want to go to the Steelers. They did right by me, sending me to the Steelers. Listen, if the Bears had gotten a better offer, they definitely would have taken it. Not that I'm calling Ryan Poles a liar, but if somebody was willing to offer a first or second round pick for Justin Fields, they were definitely taking that. So the return was not very big. I think that had to be sobering for Justin Fields. Hey, what does the rest of the league think about me? And this is somebody who... proud college career, first round pick, okay? Mm-hmm. Your opportunity to not only be a starter in this league, but make tons and tons and tons of money mm-hmm. is hanging in the balance. You'll make a living. Oh, you'll make a living as a backup quarterback if people want you for that. But we're talking about guys like Tua and Jordan Love off of 18 games getting $55 million a year. Justin Fields has everything at stake here because, to be honest, I don't think you get tons and tons and tons of chances if you're his type of quarterback. Like, if you can't show that you can throw the ball down the field and not turn it over, then I don't think you get infinite amount of chances to become a starter. So I think Justin Fields has to be feeling all the pressure in the world. And what does that lead to in this room where Russell Wilson's feeling pressure and Justin Fields is feeling pressure? Yeah. And what is their like actual dynamic going to be like?
I don't know. This is a league where Aiden O'Connell might start for the Raiders. Like, Fields will get another shot. That's just the way it's going to be. I don't, and honestly, he might have a better, you say like, oh, he goes to Carolina, that's bad. I mean, what is this Pittsburgh team? Is this a place to show off your passing chops? I'm not so sure. I feel like Mike Tomlin with this particular team wants to hand the ball off and let TJ Watt win the game. I'm not sure that this is going to be a showcase year for Justin Fields. You're right. It'd be huge for him, but let's face it, like, is his future really in Pittsburgh? He's going to be a free agent either way. I think that he's more likely to sign somewhere else.
Well, I mean, he's probably hoping it's in Pittsburgh because you want to go to a team, I think, that's a little bit more stable, right? Like, the coach, they've had three coaches. Like, you know that if people like you in that building and they believe in you, they're going to stay with you. Carolina is whatever way the wind blows in Carolina. Yeah. You could have a whole new GM and a whole new coach in 2 years and you're out on your butt. So I do think that the stability of the Steelers and their status, I think, probably does have a little bit to do with it.
I don't know.
He's fighting for his NFL starter life.
I do not think so. I think he starts next year. I think he'd probably be better off, honestly, sitting behind and getting everybody interested, like your guy Mitchell Trubisky did in Buffalo. I just don't know if this is a great situation for either quarterback. Maybe Fields can do something and get the big Bay Day. Honestly, I feel like more likely scenario is he floats through this season and gets a real shot next year. Do you have faith that either quarterback is going to have a lot of touchdowns there?
You know, I don't know. It's probably going to be a little more of how it looks than like what the final score is, because you're right. I don't think they're trying to blow people out of the water with their offense. But how does it look? Can you not turn the ball over, not take sacks? Can you be competent?
That's a big deal for Fields.
Like, no doubt.
I would be shocked if all of a sudden that he fixed that, because the guy holds on the ball forever.
So the other part of this, too, is, you know, why I don't think he has infinite chances and why I think there's a lot of pressure on Fields. He must be feeling the pressure, is because you always have new guys who are coming into the league. And to start over with a young quarterback always has this sort of appeal because it helps save coaches' jobs, it extends GM's life, and obviously they're super duper cheap. Here's Russell Wilson. He said he sees himself as a mentor to Justin Fields, and that started even before this season.
I think, you know, more than anything else, we've known each other for some years now, and I've always tried to be a mentor in some way to him. You know, we've always texted, called, whatever it may be in the past. And the same thing now, you know, I believe that when you give as much knowledge that I have or experience or gone through, you know, it comes back in return for you in the long run. You know, we're a team. We're always trying to work to get better together.
Okay.
Let's rock.
Thank you. Is he doing that this year? I don't think he is. Anyway.
Mr. Unlimited.
Steelers country. That's great. And it seems like they have a good relationship, Pearl.
Yeah.
Again, you add the pressure of both wanting to get a lot, I think, out of the season. Maybe that changes things. But let's not forget, and listen, he may have matured a lot since then, but we go back to Justin Fields and his rookie year. The reporting was the quarterback room in Chicago was, quote, bleeping toxic as hell. And that was because older quarterbacks like your friend Andy Dalton and also Nick Foles believe they were trying to give Justin Fields all this knowledge and wisdom and be a mentor, and he wanted no part of it. So maybe he's not so big into the mentor-mentee relationship, and this is more of a Russ saying this thing, and maybe Justin's like, listen, I prefer to just, you know, kind of listen to the coaches and go my own way.
Yeah, I think that's more likely. But does it really matter, like, this whole mentor-mentee relationship? Obviously, I don't believe that Favre ever mentored Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers was awesome when he got on the field. So I'm like you. I'm skeptical of this whole thing, but it really doesn't matter. There's no connection between an older quarterback mentoring a younger quarterback and that younger quarterback's success. That's just one of those things that people talk about.
Right.
I don't think Justin Fields is probably listening to Russell Wilson, and I don't think he needs to, because he's going to be on his own journey anyway.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, we didn't know this maybe about the Bears at the time, but, like, having a toxic any position group room, let alone the quarterback one, you know, it's just not the sign of a... Well, I don't know what it's a sign of. I don't know, but I have to imagine you'd rather have harmony in there than you would toxicity.
I don't know. I mean, again, back to... I don't think Favre and Rodgers were tight when they were there, and they both performed really well.
That's also because Rodgers never really had to step in, and they weren't ever fighting each other for the job. It was very obvious that Brett was the starter and Aaron was the backup until that changed because Favre was gone from the city.
I hear what you're saying, but they're definitely like, I don't think it was as smooth as you're saying it was.
No. Yeah. I'm just saying they never were really competing for the job.
Yeah.
They're just like Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love were not competing for the job. The Packers good job of kind of separating that.
Well, right, but I think
this is a competition right now between Russ and Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be competitive like any position battle. I You know what's funny about Russell Wilson?
What's that?
Like, do you think, I don't think any players really engage with him. I don't think he has any tight relationships on the team. So I feel like he just floats in a different universe, right? Like, I mean, that's his thing, isn't it? Like, remember the great, all those articles on the Seahawks, everybody couldn't, never, he never had any close friends on the team. Nobody really related to him. He's different. So I think that Russ is good at keeping a distance. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like you're not going to have a repeat of Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, and Justin Fields. Like, can you see Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, like, arguing? That seems, like, totally out of left field.
No, I don't know if it's about arguing, but is this situation a bit of a powder keg just because you have two guys who really need this for two different reasons?
Yeah.
And I think when you have that kind of competition set up, sure, does it bring out the best in guys? Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just the iron sharpens iron thing. But is there a personality part of this where Russell Wilson's saying, listen, I'm the big brother here, and you're like the little brother. And Justin Fields didn't love that the last time it happened in Chicago.
Yeah, but I think nobody connects with Russell Wilson anyway. He's just his own corporation that has nothing to do with anybody else on the team. I mean, you see the way Russell Wilson operates.
Well, I always assume it's different behind the scenes. He's a little looser. He's talking about playing Uno for an hour and a half.
No way. If there was a famous Sports Illustrated piece by Greg Bishop where one of his teammates was ripping him for having three tuxedos in the backseat of his car.
Yeah.
That's who he is. He's
you don't think
Russell
he can play Uno with the guys?
There is. Come on. There is no, probably the entire NFL, there is probably no player that is more separate from his teammates than Russell Wilson. I don't even think that's a hot take. He's Russell Wilson. You heard him right there. Let's ride Broncos country. I mean, it's a total thing. Maybe, I don't think it's different behind closed season. I think that they're casual and I think they're professional. I do not think there's any tension here. Here's a big question. Do they keep Russ? If they decide on Fields, like, they can't keep Russ. He's got to go, right?
Wait, what?
Well, they're going to... Everyone thinks like Russ is only $1 million. Like, just cut him, right? If you have a guy on a veteran minimum who's not starting, like, you can't have Russ floating around. So you cut Russ, and he goes to the Raiders. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Oh, wow! I never even thought that would be a possibility because I would just assume you need two quarterbacks to get through the season. So if Justin Fields wins the job, just keep Russell Wilson as the backup.
Unlimited.
Okay. I don't know. Just the way the money is, it just feels weird to have a veteran there who's making veteran minimum sitting back up Justin Fields. That sounds like an awkward situation.
Wow.
I mean, just again, the whole league is set up around money and you have basically two free quarterbacks. So I don't know. I think it'd be easy to get rid of.
But why cut him if he's so cheap?
I mean, I said chemistry doesn't matter, but it's just, are you really supporting Justin Fields? Like, it's just, you can't have a 36-year-old future Hall of Famer veteran sitting there behind him.
Really? I mean, listen, we saw this in Cleveland where Deshaun Watson couldn't have Joe Flacco in the building, which is kind of, that's weird. But you really think that if Fields wins this job out of camp, they would cut Russell Wilson? I think they keep him no matter what.
I don't know. I think they'd be tempted to because Russ might ask out. That's also a big possibility.
To go where?
The Raiders are one team that jumps to mind.
Huh. Raiders could have had him. 855-212-4227. They went with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, let's see. I just think that, first of all, it's only the end of July. Yeah, I think he might not have a job. But this happened a lot where guys are floating around and then just get cut at the end and can't find a home. Russell would not be a great backup. I mean, is that who you want as your backup quarterback?
I think actually yes, because if I'm in a playoff hunt, I could have a veteran like Russell Wilson who could come in if something happens to Fields and all of a sudden I'm still in playoff contention. Like, I don't take a big dip.
He's just very prideful. I'm not sure he'd be a great backup.
Interesting. 855-212-4227. That had not entered my mind. I did not think that Russell Wilson would be cut, but kind of underscores the point. Can this situation work with the two of them, with Justin Fields and with Russell Wilson?
I mean, did you think the Broncos were going to bench Russell Wilson in week 14 on a winning streak?
No, but they did eventually bench him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did you think they were going to bench him mid-season?
Oh, I did not, no.
Yeah, I just think that these things happen really fast. If Russ is named the backup, his agent is immediately calling saying, get him the heck out of here.
Wow, 855-212-4227. That's a new wrinkle. I didn't think about that. Is this situation going to unravel is the question. Steelers quarterback situation. You can weigh in. You can watch the show. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And on X at Maggie Gray. You can download the Maggie and Perloff podcast wherever you get your podcast. If you could leave us a 5-star review. It's very small, but things that help us go a long way. Also, the absolutely free to download Odyssey app is where you can find the show. It's crystal clear. You got the rewind function. It's really a good user experience. It really is. And Sirius XM channel 158. World heavyweight champion Damian Priest going to join us. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Just a lot of disagreements today, all over the place. Maggie and I are on different pages, and I love it. Of course, great debate today. Dream team versus redeem team. That is one I have never been more confident in debate about in the history of my life. That people are with me. There's no debate. Yeah. Of course, you can weigh in 855-212-4227. Come on, Maggie. Dream team, Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. You're out on some limbs today. Just admit it.
Listen, I will stick with the redeem team. They were facing much tougher challenges than the Dream Team ever did. 7-game series. You're telling me that's not competitive? Kobe and LeBron in their prime.
Facing tougher challenges does not make you a better team. Okay, whatever. You know, I'm with Pete. There's smoke coming out of my ears.
That's right.
As far as whether or not the Cowboys are still America's team, I think everyone's with me on that one. They no longer hold that title. Whatever measure you want to use for it, whether it's, you know, maybe not TV ratings, they're still a big draw, but the shine has come off of the Cowboys just because fans are so beyond frustrated with what they've been seeing.
I think that wait till October against San Francisco, 40 million people are going to watch that game. That's how it works.
Well, I mean, that has a little to do with the 49ers, too, doesn't it?
No, that's my point. The Niners are going to play somebody else the week before, and they'll get 10 million. Then they're going to play the Cowboys, who get 40 million. The common ingredient is the Cowboys. It's not the 49ers. It's not the Chiefs. It's no one. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are right there with them now, especially the Taylor Swift aspect of it. Whew, that's a lot of new eyeballs.
You're giving me T-Swizzle. That's a different conversation. But still, all things being equal, Cowboys.
Dexter Henry is here with headlines for us on this fine Wednesday morning. Good morning, Dex.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, wait, one second. You're head-to-toe in Steelers gear before you get to the update. Perloff just had a theory that if Justin Fields, not a theory, you're asking a question.
I am definitely not the first, second, or third person who said this, that a lot of the insiders think if Justin Fields wins a job, that Russ will leave.
That
he's only
got
$1 million. He'll get cut or asked to leave.
You asking me how I feel about that?
Yeah. Do you think that's possible, true? Because a lot of people don't think Russ can sit there as a backup.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see him not wanting to sit there as a backup. And if that happens, I actually am one of the people to think if Justin Fields, who's younger and has more upside, I think that's the better situation for the Steelers if he wins the job.
The reason being,
without a doubt.
The reason that teams don't cut guys is because of dead cap and stuff like this. Russ is taking nothing up.
Right.
So he can come or go. And he has no footprint there at all.
But here's the thing. If you're Russ and you're going to do I'm a great teammate and it's all about the team and it's all about that, then you're going to turn around and say, if I'm not the starter, I want to take my ball and go home?
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, I mean, do you believe Russell Wilson when he says all those things?
I don't know.
You were like, I never bought it. You weren't buying that at all, right?
No, I mean, I just think that he wants a chance to start, and I think he'd be really frustrated. I don't think he can sit there behind 25-year-old Justin Fields. It would just be so weird.
But how long are you sitting? Because what if Fields goes out there and doesn't distinguish himself? This is still a team that's going to want to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's Mike Tomlin. They want a winning record. And by the way, the back half of their schedule is brutal. We've talked about it. It's basically one division game after the next. It's all stacked to the back of the season and the Chiefs. And so it's so many tough games. Like if I'm Russ, I sit around. I might be the finisher and the closer here.
Feels wrong to me to start Justin Fields week one and pull in Russell Wilson halfway through the season. I get your logic. It totally makes sense. It just doesn't feel right. That feels so awkward.
Who do you think wins the job?
I think I'll bet Russ. I still think Russ wins it. Throwing that ball up in the air 50 yards downfield to George Pickens. I just think Fields, I don't know. He doesn't fit the team perfectly either. Neither quarterback is in an ideal situation. I'm not a huge fan of Arthur Smith, your offensive coordinator, either. Just because
Matt Canada, I'll say that.
Yeah, better than Matt Canada. But last year, I was trying to draft some Atlanta Falcons in fantasy football, and Arthur Smith never gave him the darn ball.
That is true.
So I don't know. My expectations are low. Maggie, who's your favorite?
I think Russ is going to win the job because while it is a quarterback battle, I think if it's equal, the tie will go to Russ.
Yeah, good point.
And I think he's got some relationships in the building that are helping this along. Not that Mike Tomlin doesn't run his own ship, but I do think being really a business partner of the one of the minor owners, how does that not help you? Dex, what's for headlines today? What do you have for
some quick headlines we got. Guys, 11 days ago in an exhibition game, Team USA men's basketball, they needed a late basket by LeBron James to avoid being upset by South Sudan. But prior to that game in London, the U.S., they were 43.5-point favorites, but they won by just 1 point. So the rematch goes down today as group play continues. And the odds makers, they've made a significant adjustment.
Wait, you said 43 points was the first spread?
Yeah, 43.5 points was the first
That's
spread.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What?
Now there's an adjustment, guys. As of this morning, Team USA only 29.5 points.
That's minus 110. I thought about it.
This is like Alabama versus Samford. I can't believe it was a 43-point spread. That's incredible. And 40. Even 29 feels rich.
Yeah.
So if that feels rich, I'm going to ask here. Do you have any concern that Team USA does not cover the spread here today against South Sudan?
I definitely have a concern they won't cover. I mean, they're going to win, I think. But I think they could easily not cover because if South Sudan's a sharpshooting team, they can get themselves back into... You can make the score respectable, I think, if you can hit some late threes.
And they shot the ball well in the last game.
Yeah, they hit 14 threes. Yeah.
I think I'm going to bet the Team USA because they had this can't miss feel in the last game. Like they can't repeat that kind of shooting. And, you know, Wenyen Gabriel, former teammate of LeBron, seemed to have LeBron's number for about 37 seconds. So LeBron said, forget that. I think Team USA comes in more serious because of the close game and does cover.
Oh, with that. Well, they definitely come in more serious.
A lot of points.
29.5 is a lot of points.
I can't believe it was 43.5. That kills me.
Yeah, it really was. All right, we got some more anger for the people this morning where clearly old rivalries don't die hard, right? They doesn't happen at all. So at this year's The Basketball Tournament, a.k.a. TBT, there are two teams with a bit of history. One squad is called La Familia. That's made up of 2010's Kentucky players. The other is called The Ville. That's a roster of Louisville basketball alums. Now, the two teams played at Freedom Hall on Tuesday night in Louisville. So what could possibly happen between these two in-state rival basketball alums playing in the state of Kentucky? If you guessed a scuffle, you would be correct. Here's what happened.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Going after it. Not surprising. They got police here on the floor. You knew it would be personal. Leave it to a Harrison to knock down the game winner. And now tensions are rising here. And now this is a scene you do not want.
Except... they might have wanted it there in Kentucky. So former Kentucky star Nate Sestina claimed that the brawl was ignited when Chinano Unaku spit at him. So in a video posted to social media, it does appear that Unaku spit at Sestina. Now, there was some pushing and shoving. No punches were thrown, guys, after this. The former Wildcat players, they won the game 70-64. I don't really have a question here other than I'm kind of not surprised.
That's these old rivalries definitely die hard. Was that one of the Harrison twins?
Yes, that hit game winner.
I remember one was Aaron. Who is the other?
Andrew.
Oh, Andrew
was the other one.
I thought those guys were going to be definite NBA players. Man, was I wrong about that. This is cool. I like that there's rivalries because you don't have many anymore.
I agree. I think some to it.
I don't want to see. Well, actually, I kind of do want to see fighting. But
at one point, did they say the police are on the floor?
The police were on the floor.
Wow,
they were. If you see the video, you can check it out on social media. They get on the floor. They got everything under control.
Yeah,
so it was not that bad.
And is this the one where they play for $1 million?
Okay. That is the one. That is the one where they
I have
play
trouble
for
with all these side basketball leagues. And I did know, by the way. I don't know if you have it. Is American 3-on-3 basketball getting smoked over the Olympics?
So the men's team lost in their first game to Serbia. They lost, and Jimmer Fredette only 4 points in that game.
Come on, Jimmer.
Yeah, right? Like, Jimmer Fredette, 3-on-3. We can't get the gold in this.
By
this
way, how ridiculous. Old is Jimmer Fredette right
He's
now?
He's not that old, I don't think.
If I recall correctly.
35?
Yeah, Jimmer
Fredette. We've got nobody else. We've got all these basketball stars. No disrespect, Jimmer Fredette, upstate New York, all day.
All day, for you, yeah.
But
yeah.
No, 3-on-3 is a different sport.
No, I know, yeah. But even with the different sport, we don't have any other guys. The NBA's got, we've got more talent than we know what to do with. How many guys got snubbed off of the 5-on-5 roster? We could have easily put together this other 3-on-3. I know you have different qualifiers and you have to kind of distinguish yourself as a 3-on-3. It's not just like, oh, I'll raise my hand and sign up. But we have more talent than...
You don't put current NBA players on 3-on-3, right? That's not a thing.
They haven't done it. The women's side has done it.
Yeah. Stephanie Dolson's on there.
Yeah, Tarika Hamby's on.
You got to put the cat, Tino Mobley. He's an awesome 3-on-3 player. Like, all the 3-on-3 leagues, you know, give me Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Like, you can't put a current player.
You just want big three guys out.
I want the retired guys. I don't want to see the current. I don't need to see, like, I don't know. Bruce Brown on the 3-on-3 team. What does that do? We'll kill everybody. I need to see Jimmer.
We could have had Jalen Brunson on this team.
Yeah.
We couldn't have had...
That's like what 3-on-3 basketball. 3-on-3 is retired players and non-NBA players.
No, but again, on the women's side, that's not how it is.
Yeah, the women are having pros and some college ladies out there as well, too.
You're telling me that guys like De'Aaron Fox wouldn't want a shot? Like, you're not going to get on the 5-on-5 team, so why don't you go for the 3-on-3 team?
Cameron Brink was supposed to be on the 3-on-3 team, but she got hurt.
Okay. I don't know.
No. All right. Last thing I have. I've got a positive story, okay? Because Maggie gave us a good one with the pastrami sandwich. So let's end on a positive note. Technology may have likely saved the life of former San Antonio Spurs player Sean Elliott. According to an Instagram post from his wife, Claudia, Elliott's Apple Watch detected an irregular heartbeat, and cardiologists were able to shock Elliott's heart back into rhythm. In her Instagram post, Claudia shared that her husband wasn't experiencing any previous symptoms. However, his watch had been warning him for the last couple of weeks that he was in atrial fibrillation, which is when the heart beats regularly and can lead to a stroke. So Sean Elliott, he's doing well. He's recovering. Says he's grateful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, incredible. Remember, he was sick back in college. Yeah. Yep.
And Sean Elliott does a great job on the Spurs games.
Yes.
Great broadcaster, too. We've interviewed him a couple times. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. I ran into him once in a hotel in D.C. in the lobby. Pose for a picture. This is long before I got into broadcasting. Just good guy all around.
Would have been great on the 3-on-3 team.
Honestly, let's get him out there. Dexter, thank you so much. Okay, we turn our attention now to who else? The WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the man himself. That is Damian Priest, who joins us right here on Maggie and Perloff. We should mention that SummerSlam, this is Saturday, August 3rd. This Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern, Perloff on Peacock. Damian, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. The pleasure is all ours. Now, we were in Philadelphia when you became the World Heavyweight Champion. It was so exciting. What has been the coolest thing you've gotten to do since you become the WWE Heavyweight Champ?
There's a list, actually. I mean, the experience I got at Yankee Stadium was pretty cool. I got to be on the field and hang out with the players, and they gave me, you know, gifts. I was like, well, I mean, I'm the champ, but I'll take more. That was a really, really cool day. And then I got to be on the Telemundo float for the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and that was obviously special to me. I'm a very, you know, representative, you know, like I'm big proponent of representation. So that to me was a very special day. And it's everything in between, just the fan reception and everywhere I go, it's kind of like, oh, the champ is here. It's weird, still weird. It's still like in the dream phase, but it's pretty neat.
Damian, I saw you on the field with Aaron Judge, and I was shocked that Aaron Judge was huge. I mean, you're a big guy. Get him in the ring. Wouldn't he be a great wrestler?
Yeah, right? I think he'd succeed. He's one of those, he's just a natural athlete. And then, like, you see him, and yeah, he's a mountain of a person. But he did have cleats on, just saying.
Oh, got it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get him to the combine, you know, when you get the real measurements, like on his shoes. Damian Priest is the World Heavyweight Champ. He joins us right here on Maggie and Pearl. If you got SummerSlam, is this Saturday. Now, you mentioned you got to go to Yankee Stadium. You got to throw out a first pitch. You're not just like a casual fan. You are a partial season ticket holder. You're New York born and bred. This is like legit fandom. Even though you don't live in New York anymore, you make it back up to go to so many Yankee games. I mean, this is a huge part of who you are. I can't imagine, how are the nerves different from throwing out a first pitch at Yankee Stadium versus 80,000 people in Cleveland when you're going to be performing at SummerSlam?
So I actually haven't had the pleasure of throwing out the first pitch
yet. Oh, I thought
yet.
You did.
No, that was the one thing that's missing. I'm pretty jealous that some other players have gotten that opportunity, but I'm still hopeful for Yankee Stadium. But I've thought about it. So I think about it a lot. So I know I definitely practice a lot, but I feel like I'd be nervous just for the fact that like the catcher's got to catch the ball. I don't have to throw a perfect strike, but he's got to catch the ball. I used to play baseball when I was a kid, so I can throw. So that would be my biggest thing. Like, I can't let other wrestlers throw a better baseball than I can.
You guys are so competitive with each other.
Are there nerves in front of gigantic wrestling crowds? I mean, and not only that, how many people are watching on television as well, like WrestleMania in Philadelphia, just the amount of eyeballs. Do you think about that, or are you just immune to the crowds at this point?
No, I become a nervous wreck sometimes. You know, just the idea, like when you really think about it, when my mind's distracted and I'm, you know, thinking about a certain, you know, moment in a match or what I want the ending to be or, you know, things like that, I'll just distract my mind. I'm okay. But as soon as I start thinking about the actual act of walking out there and everybody screaming, and then, of course, negative thoughts start, like, what if I trip and fall, you know, my entrance? those are the real fears, you know, like when I'm going up to the turnbuckle just to put my hands up to the crowd, what if I flip forward and fall on my face? You know, I don't know. I just think of the worst case scenarios. So I start getting nervous and I'm like, oh, please don't embarrass yourself. You know, so those are the big ones. And of course, you want to deliver. You want to make sure our fans, you know, get their money's worth, and we do deliver the best show possible and the greatest show on earth. So that's a lot of pressure. So and naturally, I'm human, so I do feel every single one of those nerves.
Damian Priest is joining us. Of course, he's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It was a long time coming for you too, Damian, and we'll get into your career and all the obstacles that you've overcome to get to where you are. You said, obviously, very proud of your Puerto Rican heritage. You had this epic match with Bad Bunny that happened in Puerto Rico. And, you know, some of these celebrity matches, it can be kind of hit or miss. You know, it's probably just got to be very different from your point of view. That one was such a huge success. Why was that so successful? And would you welcome a rematch with Bad Bunny?
I first of all, yes, I would definitely welcome a rematch because I didn't get the win. So I need to get that one back. But I think the success of it goes into the work we put in. You know, I'll say this about Bad Bunny. For a celebrity, an outsider, somebody who's not from this world, the amount of work that he put in and the rigorous training that he went through and what he put his body through, knowing that he has, you know, this huge career, you know, that he should be focusing on, just speaks to the volumes of the type of entertainer he is, you know, willing to put in the work to make sure that our fans, his fans, and everybody in between is proud that he didn't just come in to just take somebody's spot and to come promote a song or a movie. He came in because he was a fan and he wanted to do the business justice. And I know because I was the one who originally trained him. I'll say this, like, my man could take a hit and he'll say, ow, but he'll get back up and say, all right, let's do it again. You know, like it was impressive to see what he was willing to put himself through. And then when it came time for us to feud and us to have a match, you know, he was game and he got himself in better shape and he got a trainer and whatnot. And, you know, we went out there and I think the island helped a lot, you know, that atmosphere and, you know, the vibe in that Coliseum definitely helped us put on a better show. I feel like we live in our business. We live through the fans. You know, we need that energy. You know, that's how we know what we're doing is working. So the fact that they were on fire, it just made everything easier for us and we killed it.
Damian, we have a lot of old school wrestling fans in the building here listening to the show. You could have a dream match against anybody, past or present, going back in the day. I know you probably grew up a huge wrestling fan. Who's the guy that you would get in the ring with if you could go back in time?
Undertaker. That was my favorite growing up. He was the reason why, like, I fell in love with his business, just the way he made me feel, like the emotions that I felt watching this guy, you know, whether it was excitement, fear, you know, whatever. I just knew, I was like, I need to make somebody feel those emotions for me. He got me excited. And then She's just a cool character, right? You know, he's like Batman, biker, and, you know, evil. It was just cool to me. And I'm into weird stuff like that. So the Taker was definitely my guy.
Damian Priest is our guest. He's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion SummerSlam. It's already this Saturday, August 3rd. It always pops up before you know it. 7 p.m. Eastern on Peacock. You're going to be taking on Gunther. You guys have had some fun matchups, including last week, which I saw, which was a fun surprise. What makes Gunther such a formidable foe for you, Damian?
He's a perfect old school mixed with new school wrestler. You know, he's simple. You see him in black trunks, nothing flashy, very straightforward. But that bell rings. It's the guy's unreal. You know, he held the Intercontinental Championship. He's the longest reigning of all time. Nobody's held it longer than him. None of the all-time greats. He is the all-time leading man in that title for that title, which has been held by so many Hall of Famers. And he's only lost 3 matches, I believe, in the company since he's been here for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. You know, those things don't usually happen that way. You know, everybody wins, everybody loses, but this guy seems to not really lose that much. So it's definitely a tough task for me, you know, and he's a big guy. He's 6'4". He has a crazy pedigree, you know, for the business. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to testing myself against someone like that and somebody who can push me a little further. So this is going to definitely be one to watch.
All right, I have a question you're not going to like. I'll give you a choice. You had a win over Gunther, or I'll give you a Yankees World Series win this year. Which are you taking, Damian?
Oh, boy. Oh, man, that's...
I'll give you a rematch with Gunther, too, afterwards, just to give you a little enticement. So all you have to do is lose this once, and you get back. You know, and things are looking good. Things are looking up.
Oh, that one's rough. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think I'd choose the rematch.
Yeah. Man, even with Jazz Chisholm now, I know he's like, he's a guy. Would he be a heel or a face? I'm not really sure. Jazz feels like he could go either way.
Yeah, I think he comes in as a face, but quickly we can turn on you. what a great addition to the team. I'm pretty excited to see what he can do and where the Yankees can go with him.
Yeah, as a Yankee hater, yeah, congrats on all that. lastly for you, Damian. So, of course, SummerSlam, it's this Saturday, August 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern on Peacock. But on Monday, it's WWE 24. Damian Priest is also going to debut on Peacock. It's a real intimate, behind-the-scenes documentary about you and your rise to stardom in this company, and it has not been an easy journey for you. You've been open about some of the things in your past, including homelessness and other things. I mean, was there a low moment and the moment when you really thought either about quitting or really just had moments of doubt? And if so, how did you get yourself through those moments?
Absolutely. There was moments that I felt lost. I didn't know what I was doing with my life, where I was like, I know I'm not supposed to be here, but I don't know how to get to where I need to be. And that was just a matter of knowing your surroundings, who's you surrounding yourself with, you know, what position are you putting yourself in and how much work are you putting in to follow your own dream? And that was the biggest thing for me. It was I was so reliant on people who gave me the worst advice, you know, and just a pat on the back and saying, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, which is not what I needed to hear. And then when I decided to change my life completely, you know, just completely surround myself with a different type of person, move from the area that I was living in, and really actually work hard for my dream and be able to look myself in the mirror and say, oh, I'm actually doing it. I'm not just telling people that I am. That was when I realized, oh, wow, this is possible. And then opportunities starting opening up. And little by little, I got myself into shape because I was really out of shape. And then I started realizing, oh, this is how this works. You got to put in work, you know? I was fortunate that I was able to realize that. Some people don't. And the documentary, it was weird for me to do, you know, to really let that much of myself in. You know, I've always given, you know, little glimpses, but this is a different scale. And my reasoning to finally do it was for that reason, just the idea that maybe somebody who just needs to see this to be ahead of the curve, you know, to do it earlier than I did, because I wish I wasted a lot of time and I wish I didn't. And hopefully that my journey can help somebody else.
Well, Damian, all your hard work is certainly paying off. Congratulations on your success. And we hope, you know, you have a great match at SummerSlam against Gunther this Saturday. And also, we're really looking forward to the documentary, which airs Monday, August 5th, which is also going to be on Peacock. And we hope that when the Yankees are in the postseason, maybe you'll come back and visit us again.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously you guys mentioned it before. I go there all the time for games and whatnot. So I'll definitely come visit.
There we go.
Awesome.
Damian Priest, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Check him out this Saturday, August 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern on Peacock. It's SummerSlam. Thank you, Damian.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Gosh, that's the coolest Yankees fan alive right now.
Kind of hard to hate the team when they've got fans like that, huh? He's a likable dude. Okay, we'll get more and reaction to that in just a moment. Got to take a quick break. We're back. It's Maggie and Perloff. Appreciate Damian Priest, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, who just joined us on the Maggie and Perloff show, SummerSlams this weekend. If you are new to the program or not familiar with Perloff and I, we had quite a debut ourselves at WrestleMania back in April. Many lost bets led to Perloff, myself, EJ Stewart, obviously our executive producer, dressing up in fun outfits, going to Philadelphia, enjoying WrestleMania. It was cold and we looked silly.
Nobody puts on a WrestleMania like my hometown of Philadelphia.
It was very drunken and debaucherous.
Actually, it was not really. There was a 9-year-old kid in front of me who was not drunk, who was double birding everybody. It's just like nowhere else is there a more profane group of children than the Link. I thought it did.
You must
really
be really proud of that. You can see, if you're watching us right now, up on the screen, EJ and I, as the tag team partner of the century, Perloff went in the Rowdy Roddy Piper ensemble. Mm-hmm. And boy, did we make fools of ourselves. And boy, did we make an entrance. We got to go right down next to the ring. It really was cool. The people at WWE really helped us out.
Yeah, I have that Roddy Piper t-shirt in my closet. I thought there'd be more occasions to wear it. There really aren't. I just can't go out on a Tuesday afternoon with a Hot Rod t-shirt without
the kilt.
The kilt, I would love to wear the kilt more often. I'm a big fan of kilts. It's just, I don't know. I'm...
Andrew Bogish was not a big fan of you wearing the kilt that day.
You're not even really supposed to wear shorts around this office. Isn't there some sort of rule about that here? Or there was, let alone a kilt.
At one point, I think there was a no shorts policy here. Bogish, you're here sitting in our in the control room right now. Nope. You're going to come in and sit down in the studio. I'm not sure about the dress code. The dress code around here, I would say, lax.
There is, once the legendary Mark Chernoff left, the dress code went with him. He was very anti-shorts.
Yeah.
Once he went, people basically downshifted to pajamas.
Well, did the biggest names, like the really successful people, like the most, did they wear shorts if they wanted to? You're telling me he told Craig Carton not to wear shorts?
No. So the no shorts rule applied to non-hosts.
Oh.
The people who he could boss around couldn't wear shorts.
He would boss around somebody and then Francesca would walk in here with shorts on.
Yeah.
I remember once when Bart Scott came in wearing shorts that cost more than my car. Yeah. And I was like, you're definitely not telling him to put on a pair of slacks.
Yeah, I mean, who's telling Bart Scott to put on pants? Not me.
Don't do it.
Not anybody.
Yeah, well, actually, that sounds weird.
You know, the no sandal the no sandal policy I can get behind. Yeah. This is another thing that Francesca used to violate.
Sandals are lame. That's why, right?
Well, I just don't know. Sandals for the office.
I'm fine with it. But flip-flops, I just think they're uncool to a man wearing sandals. I mean, or do you mean like flip-flops?
I think, yeah, probably a flip-flop. What other kind of sandal would a man wear? Birkenstock?
Like those leather sandals, like, you know.
Like a hippie sandal?
Yeah. Real quick, since we have Andrew Bogish here, can you vote on our poll? Who do you think would win, the 92 Dream Team or the 2008 Redeem Team?
What sport?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball. I'm going to go 92.
Okay, but how about this poll? Are the Dallas Cowboys still America's team?
No.
Well, how about this poll? Who will be the most watched TV team in the NFL next year?
The Chicago Bears.
Way to go outside the box. And it starts tomorrow at the Hall of Fame game. You're filling in for Bill Ryder today?
And tomorrow and Friday.
Yeah. Feel free to steal that Dream Team versus Redeem Team topic.
You're welcome.
Pete's reaction, Pete not only ripped it on air, he was screaming in my head the entire show. Redeem team, give me a break.
Dwight Howard? That's right. Carlos Boozer, get lost.
That wasn't even the most egregious person on the team. Oh, boy. Thank you, Pete Pilotti. Thank you to E.J. Stewart. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to Dexter Henry, to Damian Priest, the WWE World Heavyweight Champ.